All right, guys, we are back for another episode. This is a special episode of Tattoos and Jesus. We got Josh Martin on the line, Marty Height here, and we have a special guest who feels the need to come on the show to provide some encouragement to us. So, Josh, who is this special guest that you have for us today?
Oh, man. So, we have the one and
Ford Ranger
that we have been talking trash about for the past 2 weeks. Adam Ellison.
Adam Ellison.
You know, at some point in time, you talk enough trash about somebody, they'll confront you about it.
Listen, if we knew that that was how to get guests on this show, we would have started talking trash about people a long time ago.
That's true.
Yeah.
They actually have to listen to our show, though. But
so anyway. Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Yeah, Puerto Rico, wherever you are, please.
We love you.
Large 23 on Sweet Leaf.
Did you see who our newest addition is to the international listening audience? Singapore. We picked up Singapore the other day.
Shout out to Singapore. Anybody who's not in America that wants to be on the show, please email us.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. If you are an international T&J listener, hit us up. You're bound to be better than our interview today.
Speaking of guaranteed. Merch. Let's go.
All right. Adam, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. Good. So yeah. You would be very proud of me, Marty. I am no longer driving the Ford Ranger. But I am still driving a Ford. So I just left a muffler shop to get my mufflers fixed. Because they were rusted through, and it sounded like a terrible piece of garbage going down the road.
FX4?
I think it's a STX.
STX. FX4 is nicer. Let's say that.
They cost more, too.
Right. So
you forgot where I work.
Did you get nice? Did you get like dual exhaust put on it, or did you just get like a standard replacement?
So it hasn't been done yet, so I don't want to give this guy a shout out because I don't know if it's going to be good or not. But he said that we're going to do true duels.
True duels? Yeah.
Is that a thing? Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's what my truck already has. He's just going to replace what my truck has.
Oh, okay.
Make it better.
So this is maybe TMI. So there's sometimes people do duels. It's called cat back. So what that means is at the catalytic converter, it splits, which means it comes out of the engine into a single pipe and then splits after the catalytic converter, which sounds cool, but it doesn't create as much of an enhancement in performance. True duels mean literally from four cylinders on one side of the engine, it has its own exhaust system. The four cylinders on the other side, it has its own exhaust system. So there's a pure dual passage from front to back, increases performance.
That's what mine is.
Yeah.
Yep, straight from front to back, two pipes.
Bet you didn't know all that.
Yeah. So is that double fisting? Is that double fisting the pipes?
It is.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. So we made a promise that we weren't going to say the words on the podcast, and here they are. Here they are. Well, there that goes. All right. Well, it is what it is now.
Speaking of which.
All hands on deck.
Adam doesn't have our coffee today, but Josh, we have round two of PSL October.
PSL October, baby. We are in season, and Adam has a cappuccino Clover Valley, shout out Dollar General, K-Cup.
French vanilla.
He is also drinking. So we have PSL, and we have Clover Valley cappuccino French vanilla. So what we have today is Green Mountains K-Cup Pumpkin Spice,
which
we looked up and said the internet that you know that never lies said that Green Mountain Pumpkin Spice was one of the top pumpkin spice coffees to drink in October. So that is what we have today.
All right. Josh and I both purchased these K-Cups from Ingles, correct? Yes?
Yes.
Does your box have this this cool perk if you buy these things? I noticed this morning. Listen, on the Green Mountain Coffee from Ingles. I don't know if it's on other boxes. It says, buy three boxes and get a free limited edition mug.
Really?
Yeah. So we could get a free limited edition Green Mountain Pumpkin Spice mug if you buy three boxes of this stuff.
We bought two separately, so we kind of screwed ourselves on that.
Peel it. Oh, but it doesn't matter. We could combine.
Oh, okay. We can combine them. Okay. I got you.
It's peel and read. I gotta be 18 or older. Limit to three. Oh yeah. Must be redeemed by March 15th of 2022. Hey, guess what? March 15th is the anniversary of the first time I kissed my wife. How about that?
Congratulations.
How do you remember this stuff?
Have you ever kissed my wife, Adam? If you kissed her, you'd remember it too.
Probably because it was the same night he got chased in North Greenville.
No. We were swinging on the swings in Falls Park, Greenville, South Carolina.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That starts off about every other upstate couple story. Starts off in Falls Park.
Anyway, the swing ideas from the North Greenville. They say a ring before spring, engaged in the swings or whatever that stupid saying is.
Just like that. That's how it is.
Man, I tell you what, Christian colleges are something else. Like Sarah went to Anderson and she talks about all these like stories and sayings. And like, I'm just like, man, Christian colleges, they're wild. They are wild. Like, I get, like, you know, be different, not of this world, but, like, they go all out. I mean, don't pass the curb. Don't look at a girl past 9 o'clock. Like, I mean, it's something else.
All right. Adam, did you make your cappuccino?
It's making it right now. So, if you hear something like a helicopter taking off, it's just my coffee maker.
Josh, have you tried this yet?
Yeah, I'm already about done with. I'm about to go make me another one.
What?
PSL season.
Oh, man. This is my first sip. That first sip feeling.
First sip.
Marty's giving it a 4-3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see it on his face. That is at least a 5-1.
What was last week's Aldi? Was it Aldi brand?
Lidl.
Sorry. No offense, Lidl.
He stepped it up. Wrong. He gave it a 6-3, not a 4-3.
And that stuff was good. This stuff is really good.
So the way I feel, like, the taste is smooth. It's good. Mm-hmm. Then it just, like, the aftertaste just dies. And I think it's more of K-Cup. It's more K-Cup than the coffee, because K-Cups do that. They don't really bring home the aftertaste. But
I feel like last week – It tasted like coffee that had like a pumpkin spice pull to it. This tastes much more pumpkin spice than coffee.
Right. Yeah. It's good. It's really good. I mean, it's good. Yeah. Especially to be K-Cup. Green Mountain seems to be coming through, because that other Green Mountain we had was pretty good.
Yeah. What did I do? What did I give them last week? We did a 6-0. It was an even 6-0 for both of us.
6-0, I think. Yeah. For flavors, so
yeah,
I can't wait for Christmas blend.
I'm gonna give you a huge shout out right now. I'm such a big T&J fan. Marty, last week you gave him a 6-3. Mm-hmm. Josh gave him a 5-7, mm-hmm. and y'all met in the middle at 6.
Look at this guy! Shout out to Adam. Really, really bringing it home.
I'm just a fan.
Just a fan. Well, it's probably because you are also talked about numerous times in both episodes. So
I do have to pay attention on every episode because my name just gets thrown out there.
You never know when it's going to come.
I'm telling you. So I will say this. Funny story. First time I ever really tried to drink pot coffee, I was with Adam Ellison at Connection. We were working early. It was like one of those like 6 to 6 days because we had to get boxes out. And I was tired of buying energy drinks. So me and Adam were like, you know what? Let's try this coffee thing. So we made coffee and we poured probably 3/4 of the cup was pure creamer, like all creamer, and then the, like 1/4 coffee. And so we did that for about a week until we ended up going through about 4 bottles of creamer in a week. And we had to change it up a little bit. But that is the first time I actually tried to drink consistently pot coffee.
Yeah, normal people like their coffee black. Me and Josh liked ours white. It was definitely white.
All like white. A cup of creamer with a
yeah, it was hint it was of... it was yeah. Oh. It was not good. But that is true. I didn't really love coffee until I got to the meal. Put it like this, it did not stick that day that we tried it, but it is what it is. You know, it happens.
And you got your cappuccino yet, Adam?
Well, it's ready. I'm ready.
You ready? Give it before we rank this pumpkin spice. Give us a first sip feeling there.
So this cappuccino, just to explain before I do this, it's kind of one of those things where it's 3:00 in the afternoon on a Friday. I need a pick me up, but I don't want to drink too much because I'm probably going out somewhere nice with my wife. Mm-hmm. I don't want to eat. I mean, I don't want to get full before I eat. So it's probably bottom of the barrel.
So it's about every other. But, it's probably every coffee Marty drinks in his life. Is pretty much.
What yeah, it's just a normal. You know, pick me up to get me through from 3 to 5.
Have you had this before?
I drink this all the time.
Oh,
this is the DSS go to right here, Clover Valley.
Oh, definitely.
Cappuccino French vanilla.
Okay. So, where are you and your wife going to dinner tonight, Adam?
Probably the house.
The house?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of that restaurant.
We are definitely old souls. You've worked with my wife, so you know this, yeah. Josh, you know my wife. But yeah, we're so old that we do date nights on Friday nights, and most of the time we eat supper and we're in the bed by 8:30. Just because we're kid free, so we can go to bed early.
Mm. Netflix and chill?
Netflix and snooze. Snore.
Oh, watch where's the first the kid? 5 minutes where's of the kid at?
Well, one Friday she goes to my mom's, the next Friday she goes to Lacey's mom's. So
dang.
We just have a system worked out there.
Must be nice to have in-laws that love you. I wouldn't know what that's like.
Interesting guy.
I'm just kidding.
Shout out to my mother-in-law. She's not going to listen to this.
My mother-in-law listens every week.
Shout out to my mother-in-law. I have the best mother-in-law.
Oh,
I have the best mother-in-law ever.
So let me make an option. Okay, hold on. We need to score these before we move on.
Yeah, we.
Oh, Josh, I ranked it first. I know what my number is. What's yours on this?
So I'm gonna, in honor of Adam being on the show, connection, and my true score, I'm giving this a 6.2.
6.2?
6.2, yes.
Man.
6.2 pumpkin spice. 6.2.
See, I'm at 6.8 on this. 6.8.
Really? It is good. I'm not gonna lie. It's my second cup, and it's better than the first.
So that puts us that puts us at 6.4 total.
This is good. It's a good pumpkin spice. I'm not going to lie.
It's really good. I'm going to be tearing up the rest of these K-Cups. Faux show.
I'm giving my cappuccino a 1.8.
Hey, let's go. Sounds like instant coffee.
A 1.8? Why would you drink it all the time if it's a 1.8?
It gets you through the day.
Clover Valley. Man, Dollar General never fails. Hey, Dollar General. I wish I would invest some money in Dollar General.
Yeah.
Did y'all see where Dollar Tree is going to sell things for more than a dollar? Is that
I did see the only that. One that's a
groundbreaking news?
I thought they'd been doing that.
The only thing you could get in there that was more than a dollar were the gift cards to Dollar Tree, because it had to be more than $5. So I had to bet with somebody before.
Right, I've got an observation that needs some clarification. Every time, I feel like every week I get on Facebook, Adam is writing a post of an anniversary about how much he loves his wife. I don't know how many anniversaries you have, but I feel like every week I'm getting on and eat, and it's like, this is the anniversary of the best meal I've ever had. This is the anniversary of when I asked her to be my girlfriend. This is the anniversary of
your first kiss.
Right.
Okay.
Constant, all the time, anniversaries. Am I the only one that feels this way?
I don't ever see anything Adam posts.
Thank you.
Ever. Like, I couldn't remember. Like, I'll see occasionally him post something about what she cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And say, this
That's
is
the second
what...
most popular post.
Yeah. But I don't think I've seen anything about an anniversary. But I have seen food that looks delicious. Wait, who was she the one that made the chicken pot pie that had like poppy seeds or something in it? Hey, let's go. That stuff was slapping.
Most definitely. Marty, have you ever had chicken pie?
Like in my life or from Lacey?
No, from Lacey.
Mm-mm.
So the recipe came from my mom. So it was already good. But then Lacey got it and made it her. So now it's extra good.
Extra good.
Doctor it up. Oh. It was good. It was good.
Does Lacey listen delicious. To our podcast?
No.
I used to work with Lacey. The only thing I ever got from Lacey was a resignation, actually. But
hey, let's go.
But she's a wonderful human being. Like she is the sweetest soul. And so I really question her sanity at this point.
Well, I think she felt sorry for me. And this is the reason why I say that. Like, probably
we don't need clarification. We know that had to be it.
That's true. But about 6 months after we started dating, the Ranger went from a white Ranger with 22-inch rims, frost blue pearl color.
Frost blue. Here we go.
Yeah. It was blue when the sun shaded on it. Anyways, it went from that to being a regular Ford Ranger with a customized black front grill because the other one got hit by a deer and broke into several different pieces, leaving Lacey's house with regular Ford Ranger tires on it and pretty much just like a normal beat-around truck.
Where'd the rims go?
Oh, they got sold. I couldn't drive a rimmed-out truck to McCown's Mountain. Which if you're listening from Puerto Rico, McCown's Mountain is like in the sticks. Like you go past two Sketchy. Trees, turn left at the squirrel, and you're at her house. Like
the squirrel. So how did you meet Lacey?
So funny, cool story. So my cousin and me didn't really know each other. My dad's side of the family. So
is Lacey your cousin and y'all had never met?
Kind of, sort of, not
is
really.
That what you're
getting at? No. So me and my cousin, we really didn't know each other because my dad's side of the family was a normal family in Gaffney. They didn't really talk to each other, couldn't sit in the same room as each other, that kind of situation. Side story to that, when my grandma would pull up at my house, my mom would take us and be like, hey, y'all hide. Your grandma's here. And we would go upstairs and hide. Like, that's the kind of family I'm talking about. So me and my cousin never talked, really. Long story short, I was a youth pastor. He started coming to my church. He said, hey, man, why don't you go out to eat with me? And I was like, yeah, I got other things to do. Kept putting him off. Well, about the fourth, fifth time that he asked me, I was like, I'll just go. And then that way he can get off my case and I'll just go eat. Long story short, I go. I sit straight across from Lacey and there hasn't been but maybe 10 days that I have not seen her since that day. And that was because I was in Brazil.
Out of Brazil. Eat a limestone.
Did she know you were seeing her all those other days, or were you just like watching her from a tree?
No comment.
So she just happened to be at dinner that night.
So she and my cousin were really good friends. They went to school together, knew each other. that kind
of thing. Is your cousin a girl?
No.
Okay. I must have missed that. Go ahead. I spilled my coffee.
Anyway,
go ahead.
Yeah. So, long story short, she knew the friends that I had in high school. I knew the friends she had in high school. We all knew each other, but we never met each other.
That night, did she look familiar? Like, did you recognize her from high school?
Never seen her before in my life.
Really? Even though you shared like everyone in common?
Yep.
So
she was a grade behind me. Okay. So I knew of her friends, but I didn't know her.
Gotcha. And you went to Gaffney High, right?
The one and only.
Right, because they're not going to have school that's the only football team up. That's right. Oh, poor Blacksburg High. So
wait, didn't you go to Gaffney?
Yeah, me?
Yeah.
I'm not from South Carolina.
But didn't you move here before? Miss that?
I moved here to go to college.
Yeah, Marty's in North Greenville. Right. He's not a Gaffney, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, that night, you're at dinner. Where'd you go to dinner? I'm picturing a Broncos. Mexican restaurant. Broncos. If you go to dinner in Gaffney, you're at Broncos. Yep. And that's it.
Not anymore.
Or Daddy Joe's until 5 years ago. It was one of those two. I knew it. I already had Broncos in my head. I'm already picturing these like Hispanic engraved tables.
Josh, ain't nobody going to Club B's, man.
So,
no, not anymore. Not anymore. But
I'm intrigued.
It used to be the spot.
Tell me this, Adam. So you're there, you're having dinner. She's laughing at your bad jokes. And you're like, I like this girl.
Sounds familiar.
How did you take it to the next level? Like, did you just like, hey, I think you're awesome. Can I have your number and I'll text you? Like, how'd you mack on her, man? What was your move?
A smooth pickup line.
Thank God that she don't listen to this podcast. So for the first week and a half, maybe a month, she could not stand me. Like, I got on her nerves. I was the most annoying person in the room. Mm-hmm. Just hated me. Like, she would cringe when my cousin would invite me to go out with him. Like, because they hung out every day. So, long story short,
were you crushing on her day one?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And she couldn't stand you.
Yeah, she hated me. So I started hanging out with my cousin. We were on our way to her house to pick her up because we used to do this is gonna get me made fun of, but we used to go ghost hunting.
Okay. Snipe hunting? Snipe hunting, Adam?
No, this is ghost hunting. It's different. It's different. Okay. So snipe hunting is where you take Josh to a golf course at North Greenville and you just leave him for dead.
Leave me in the woods trying to capture these things with little beady eyes that never popped up for 30 minutes. So that's what snipe hunting is. It's pretty much a DSS case waitmaster.
All right, listen, in all seriousness, Josh was hunting ghosts. Adam was hunting ghosts. Let's go.
So we're on our way to her house. She don't have my number. I didn't have her number. So smooth Adam said, my cousin said, hey, give me her number and I'll text her and tell her that we're on the way. I said, it'll be funny because she don't have my number. So she'll be freaking out saying somebody's on her way to her house. So that's how I got her number.
That's a genius move.
So I thought so. She thought it was corny.
So at what point did she go from like, did she become a believer? Like at what point did she like say, this is my man?
So 2 days after that, we're sitting at her house watching a movie and it's me, my cousin, another girl and Lacey. Mm-hmm. And me and my cousin are sitting in the two recliners and Lacey and the girl are sharing the couch. So I text her and I was like, let me take this back to middle school real quick. I said, so I like this girl, but I don't know how to tell her.
Like you're sitting in the same room.
Oh, yeah, but we're texting each other.
Okay. What's the year?
2010.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Graduated high school. Yeah.
See, if you would notice my Facebook post an anniversary shoot Kenzie's day. So.
That is true. You should know this, Marty. You should. You don't see these every day.
I should. So what did she say back?
So she's like, well, why don't you just tell her? And I was like, well, it's kind of hard because there's always other people around, you know. I just kind of like her. And she's like, well, I don't understand. Because, you know, by working with Lacey is very literal. Like, just tell her what you need done.
So she does not know you're talking to her. She does not pick up what you're putting down.
No.
This is amazing. Not at all. Okay.
Yeah. So she's like, well, why don't you just tell her? And I was like, well, I can't really tell her because there's a lot of people around. She's like, well, just tell her. I mean, if you like her that much, then just tell her. I said, okay, well, it's you.
Did you text that or say it out loud?
No, I texted it. So from then on, I mean, the next day we went to, this is terrible. So the next day, or a couple of days after that, whenever it was, I asked her to go on a date. We went on our first date. Shout out to O. Charlie's in Spartanburg.
Oh, Charlie's caramel pie, man, is on point. No.
Are you sure?
You're full of useless comments today.
I just ate it on Wednesday. But anyways.
Oh, free pie Wednesday.
There you go.
That's right.
So we pull up. This is a funny Ranger story. Again, I pulled up, picked her up in the Ranger. At this point, I've got the dubs shining. You know, everything's looking good. We go to O. Charlie's and I pull up like right behind a light pole. And she says, why are you parking here? Because it's not near the front entrance. I said, well, I said, all the other ones are crowded. I said, this is the same exact spot that I parked my last girlfriend when we come here on our first date.
You said that?
I said that. To this day, she will remind me of that.
Were you being serious?
Yeah, I was dead serious. I thought it was just going to like break the ice. Like, you know, hey, I've been here before. You know, let's go.
What an idiot.
That was 2010. Adam.
She should have called a taxi right then. That did not go over well.
She just kind of, you know, didn't say anything. We went in, we ate, we enjoyed our time. But like I said, from that day forward, I have relived that moment.
Do you still pull into that same spot when you go there?
Odd enough, we haven't been to O. Charlie's. I went the other day for lunch because we had a lady leaving work, but other than that, we haven't been to O. Charlie's in quite some time.
Dang. Yeah,
it's because it's closed.
Josh, what was your, like, how did you get Sarah? Like, what was your move? Can you trump that situation?
I mean, I don't think O. Charlie's was in there, but mine was just.
Your looks?
Yeah, pretty much. Nah, so my friendson that I lived with for a little bit, it was his graduation at Anderson University, and we rode. I was supposed to ride with one of my friends. Long story short, he had like some crazy come up at church. He had to go to church. He wasn't able to, so I hopped in the car with her and three others, went to graduation. We all were talking. We started this group text afterwards, just all joking through the group text. And then I texted her to the side because she was going to Texas to be a part of some Anderson University, like, missions thing for the summer. And I was just like, hey, you know, just want to let you know, praying that everything goes well, yada, yada, yada. And then we just kind of texted while she was in Texas, like every so often back and forth. And then when she got back, I took her out on a date and then dating long distance. I was working third and started dating long distance while she was at Anderson her senior year. And then ever since then, I pulled up to Broncos and I was like, yeah, this is where me and my first girlfriend used to park. And that's all it was.
But, Moped Randy.
Yeah, that's about who?
Moped Randy, the guy you hit on the moped? Was he there?
I don't think his name was. You know what I forgot? It was Father's Day, and I wrote that man a letter talking about how blessed his daughters were to have a father like him. Looking back on it, I'm like,
you for real did that?
For real did that. I was like, man, I feel so bad. This is before I found out he was driving an illegal moped that he was racing at Cherokee Speedway on the weekends or whatever. And, you know, it just, yeah, I wrote that letter and just told him, you know, you bless that, you know, I appreciate you for giving me whatever.
Have I told you how I got my wife to go out with me? Have I said that on the podcast?
I was about to ask. I wasn't going to let you it go unnoticed.
I was going to say, you would know, Adam, because you are such a listener.
I don't think I've heard it.
When I was at North Greenville, I had this theory. So Adam went there. You can vouch for me. The closest place that everybody wanted to go was Walmart and Traveler's Rest.
You can't forget about the tie and I.
Yeah, the tie and I, but that's no – I mean, people could walk there. What I'm saying is people – always needed to go to Walmart, but nobody wanted to go because they either didn't have a car or they didn't want to spend gas.
That's true.
People buddy system to Walmart all the time, right? And to drive to Walmart was like 15 minutes. You shop and you drive back, right? At a minimum, you have a 1 hour window. Drive to Walmart, shop, come back. It's a 1 hour time. And it wasn't like invasive. And so I had this theory that if I wanted to hang out with a girl, but I didn't want her to feel like uncomfortable, I'd just be like, hey, I'm running to Walmart. Do you want to ride along? That happened all the time. Nobody thought twice about it.
Christian college thing again that I've ever heard in my life. And hey, do you want to ride to Walmart? Because if I see you on the sidewalk, I can't talk to you.
What I would do is I'd be like, hey, you want to ride to Walmart? And I knew that I had like 15 minutes shop and drive back. I had a 1 hour window. And if I could make them laugh, I could get them to go on a date with me.
So you ran from the cops?
No. So what I did is I have a picture of this somewhere. I have a picture of this night. I asked my wife, Ashley, I was like, hey, I'm running to Walmart. You want to ride with me? And she's like, sure. So we jump in my incredibly fast and tricked out Silverado and we go to Walmart. So I like her. I'm trying to get her to laugh. And so we're just walking her. I'm wasting time walking down random aisles that don't matter. And I walk up and there's a motorcycle helmet sitting there and it's like a size medium. And if you've seen my head, you know, my head is not a size medium. And so what I do is I just pick up this helmet and I say, I always wanted a four-wheeler, but I never got one or something like that. And I just jam this helmet on my head. And then what I proceed to do is pretend that it's stuck. And so what I do is I was like, oh my goodness, I can't get this helmet off my head. And she is just dying laughing because I'm just being stupid. And so what I would do is I would put my thumbs like underneath my jawbones instead of underneath the helmet. And so like I'd pull up as hard as I could, but it looked like the helmet was stuck on my head. And so she's like, this helmet's really stuck on your head. I'm like, yeah, this helmet's stuck on my head. And I'm like, help me pull it off. So in the middle of the aisle, I've got her like grabbing this helmet while I'm keeping my fingers under my jawbones. So no matter how hard she pulls, it's not coming off because I'm holding it down. And so anyway, so I was like, try one more time. And so she grabs the helmet and I take my fingers off my jawbones. And so when she pulls it, it comes off and I like roll down the aisle being just ridiculous. And that was it, man. That was my move.
Wow. I really probably could have gone my entire life without hearing
the
story.
So here's the funny thing that I didn't realize, because she took a picture of me that night with the helmet on. I've got it somewhere. It wasn't until like 3 years ago that she realized that that was a stunt. She thought it was stuck on my head legit this whole time. It wasn't until just a few years ago that, and I didn't realize, I wasn't trying to keep it from her. Like I thought she knew like after the fact, like down the road, that I was just kidding. This whole time for like a decade, she has thought that it was for real stuck on my head that night.
Wow. That's a true North Greenville story.
Yeah.
That is if I ever heard it.
100%. Like, if you were just to tell me a random pickup story and you were to say,
what college did this happen at?
Where did this happen? I would automatically say definitely Christian college. 100%. That was a Christian college.
Oh.
Look, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, that's how it happened.
So, hi, Adam. So you texted me today and you said, I need to set some things straight on the podcast because there's some stories being told that aren't exactly correct. So will you please inform us of what some of these stories are that we're telling that are not exactly true or correct in some way?
So for beginners, we've already talked about several of these. But for beginners, anything that happened at North Greenville, I was associated just like you were and was not the leader of that pack. The whole snipe hunting was not my idea, but it was quite hilarious to watch you stranded on a golf course.
Who was the leader? We need names.
Dylan, Jolly, but Adam, don't let him fool you. He was 100% in on this. Just because it wasn't his idea doesn't mean that he is not equally responsible for driving me to a golf course and leaving me for dead.
So, in my defense of that, I lived a house over from where Josh was staying. And, of course, at North Carolina, there's nothing else to do. I went over to the house where Josh was staying. They were playing some soda pong.
The cops called on soda pond.
So Dylan looks at me in the middle of this game. He's like, snipe hunting. I said, okay. I mean, I'm not going to turn down a good trip of snipe hunting. I mean, why would you do that? So I went snipe hunting. I just knew how to get back home.
The trust was broken in that moment. Dan Marino's golf course was nice, but in the Dan Marino's, isn't that what it was in North Greenville?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that another lie that I've been telling everybody my entire life? Hey, have you been to Dan Marino's golf course at North Greenville? Have I been telling people this and you've lied to me about that too?
I've only seen it at 1 a.m. because I was snipe hunting, but I was there.
Well, I was sitting there on the golf course, and either Adam or Dylan or somebody was like, man, it's crazy that Dan Marino owns this golf. I literally told so many people that Dan Marino owned a golf course at North Greenville, and you're just now telling me that was a lie.
Dan Marino did not own that golf course.
Oh, my God.
Marty, now you see. Well, I was like, yeah, I'll go snipe hunting, of course.
Freaking gullible, man.
Look, man, that really just blew my mind a little bit because I mean, if somebody brings up North Greenville, I was like, yeah, I've been on Dan Marino's golf course. And I've always wondered why they haven't responded back to me when I've said that. Okay.
Now, for real, though, the grass in the football stadium was from a Super Bowl at one point in time. They flew it in, planted it.
I'm not believing anything that either one of y'all were telling me for the rest of my life.
Google it.
What else do you need to set straight here?
So that was first. Second of all, Marty trashing my white Ranger like it wasn't like the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, it won. It got me to and from North Greenville practically every day for a year and a half. Two, it took, shout out to Nick Everett, to Charleston and back. I mean, this thing's dependable.
Nick Everett was driving a 1995 like Buick LeSabre.
Hey, those things are nice.
But when that car broke down, guess who we called? Rescue Ranger.
Oh my God.
He's freaking Paw Patrol over here.
It wasn't Carolina Squad over here. Carolina Squad Marty with his big truck, fake tailpipes.
tell me this, Adam. Where did you get this Ranger? What is the history of this legacy come from?
So you're gonna find out. The more questions you ask, the longer the stories get. But I'm gonna try to make it short. So me and Josh were at a connection with Jordan Clark. Jordan Clark is my brother's cousin. Okay. If you remember, when I first started North Greenville, I had a dark green extended cab Ranger, and it was awesome. It was like the best thing I've ever driven in my life. Nothing better. And I totaled it on the way back from Somerville, something like that. Anyways, wrecked it. And so when I got back, found out Jordan was selling his Ranger, and I was like, oh, I just give me another Ranger. I'm good with that. I already knew Jordan from my brother. So me and my brother load up in the car. We go up and we look at it. Come to find out, it's already sitting on 22s. It's clean as a whistle. No wrecks, no anything. Drives like a charm. I said, I'll take it.
How much did you pay for it?
$6,000.
What? What?
It was a 2001. This was 2008.
7-year-old single cab Ranger, 2-wheel drive.
I think it had like less than 50,000 miles on it.
Yeah, that's not bad. What are you worried about? It would be like buying like a 2015 now.
All right.
It wasn't that bad.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
That's how I got the White Ranger. Now, when I got the White Ranger, it went through like 3 or 4 deer, 5 or 6 trees. I mean, I really, RIP to the Ranger. I really put it through the ringer.
So what happened? What? How did it come to its end? What happened with it?
So my wife, she always hated the thing. Like I told you. So she calls me one day. She's like, hey, I'm at the Ford place and I found you a truck. And I was like, I'm not even looking for a truck. Like, we wasn't even married at the time. She was just, hey, here's your truck.
That's how much she hated it.
Yeah. So note taken, she was looking for me a truck and I wasn't even interested in looking for a truck.
I wish my wife would do that.
So I traded in for a GMC Canyon, drove the Canyon for a couple years. And now I've got the F-150. So, I mean, I think I've graduated up every time.
That's true. I'll give you that. It wouldn't have been difficult, though.
I will say,
you got to start from the bottom and work your way up.
I like the Ranger. I personally liked it. But I do remember Jordan telling me it's the first day he put rims on it, a deer shot across Highway 11, and he, for some reason, immediately turned into the field to chase it off of the road, just put rims on it, and chased this deer for a minute, and then drove back onto the road. So it, from day one, it went through it.
Like, yeah, it was very valuable. I mean, it was dependable. It would get you where you needed to go.
So you traded it in.
So, yeah, I traded it in. Well, then, like, maybe a month later, I'm riding down Floyd Baker, right there at Broncos, of course, because it's the only street in Gaffney. So I'm riding down Floyd Baker, and I stop at the red light, and I'm like, dang, that white truck over there looks a lot like my old truck. I rolled my window down, and it's the Ranger. They had sold it to some, like, little – I traded it in at a Ford dealership. They had sold it to, like, a mom and pop. Like buy here, pay here kind of thing. And somebody else was driving it. And the reason why I knew it was mine is because you couldn't see in the windows. Because you know those little things they put on the windows to check your window tint?
Yeah.
Yeah, a cop did that one time and it was a 1. Like didn't even register on the little meter thing. So I knew it was mine because I knew that it had illegal tint on the windows. And I was like, that's my truck. Somebody else is driving my truck. I was immediately envious and wanted to wreck them, but I didn't.
So, do we know where it is now, today?
Probably a junkyard.
Be my guess, yeah.
20 years?
Be my guess.
I'm probably going to say a junkyard somewhere.
I think we need to try to find it. Yeah.
Funny thing is, Jordan bought a red truck
and done the same exact thing.
The same thing, but it was red. As soon as he sold that one, he bought a red Ranger, put the same dubs on them.
Why did he do that?
Because it was cool, Marty.
But why did he sell the white one just to do it with a red one?
That's what he does. He made money. He still does that to a day.
Oh, my goodness.
Jordan is the kind of person where you give him a paperclip, and he's going to turn it into, like, trading it for a house.
Yeah, he's the one that sold
my car. We need to meet Jordan. We need to meet Jordan.
He sold my Taurus for as much as I paid for it when I first got it 5 years ago.
He's the one that bought your Taurus for $400 or whatever?
Yeah, $362. And then he sold it for $2,800.
Wait a minute. Your Taurus was the one that was on his Facebook?
That was mine, player. That was it.
I almost bought that thing to drive back and forth to Spartanburg every day. Hey. I'm glad I didn't. I didn't.
Whoa. I mean, it was a beauty. It was time to put her down.
It wouldn't have got me to Spartanburg and back every day.
No, it would have been fine. Jordan fixed it. I mean, he took it to the shop. He got it fixed. I wasn't paying that money to get it fixed, but he paid it and then sold it for more.
You wish you would have done it now since he flipped it? You could have made all that profit.
No, I don't care to do any of that.
Now he's got a hatchback that has a bike rack, and he can't even ride a bike. Earlier this week, I found on Amazon training wheels for a full-size bike and sent them to him, and he shot me down.
It was like a wheelchair. It wasn't like a bike. It was like a wheel. Like it wasn't.
They were like mini wheels that go on each side of it, man.
It was literally a wheelchair or like one of the bikes in the old school days where it had the basket in the back with two wheels. Like it was just.
You'd probably be scared to ride one of those too.
It's not that I'm scared to ride it. I'm not the most balanced person in the world.
Sounds scared to me.
Yeah, you're not even close to the most balanced person in the world. If it's clumsy and going to happen, Josh is going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I get thrown off every once in a while.
Every day. Yeah, every day.
Good.
Do you ski or anything, Josh?
No, heck, I ain't trying to go to the hospital.
Josh struggles to walk.
Sometimes. I mean, you know, life is hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, life can really come at you sometimes. But we get through it. We work through it, you know. Play tennis, basketball. Yeah, that's about it. But
Shout out to tennis. You know, Gaffney is known for their football team. But I don't know if you've seen that 2007 tennis team that Gaffney had.
That's right.
2007. That's
right.
Were you on that team, Josh?
2000. Maybe. Yeah, 2007 was my first year. Yeah. 2007, 2008, 2009, I quit my junior year.
Oh, my goodness.
Ending it up.
All right, before we're out of time today, Adam, was there anything else that you needed to dispute with us on the show?
No, I just wanted to come on here and tell you guys, good job. I appreciate the show. I'm a loyal fan. But get your stories right if you're going to share them with somebody.
Listen, the stories, here's the thing is, it's not about what the truth is. It's about what sounds best on the show.
I do have to say this.
If the truth isn't good enough, you got to make it better.
I do have to say, Marty, that when I ran from public safety in my Ranger, I never called and apologized and told them, I'm sorry for running from you guys.
So that's I can't help it that I have character.
Okay.
Mm-mm. You just
did you run from them? Did you run from them?
Every day.
That Ranger, man.
Wes knew my name and, like, would have me a ticket ready, like, just to hand it to me. And I was like, Wes, I'm not taking that ticket from you. Sorry.
Look, yeah, people in Gaffney, man, they just do it different, Marty.
Oh, and Marty, when you're talking about being an RA, I was an RA one time.
One time.
Over over intramural sports. You remember that?
Intramural sport, yeah.
Oh yeah. That doesn't even count.
I got the same scholarship you got, but I didn't have to look over people. I just had to show up and blow a whistle.
So let me tell you about an RA story. So I was a coordinator. If you'll remember, down there was a kind of remote housing on the back end of North Greenville's campus, and they renamed it. But when I went there in 2005, the name of it was Bitter End.
So is that like past Chicklepin, or are you talking
about?
No,
the other way. Like it's down across from the football stadium.
Okay.
Down behind the tennis course, down behind the baseball field.
I'm with you.
It's called Bitter End, like B-I-T-T-E-R, Bitter End. Well, they renamed it to Crusader Court because so many parents complained that their children were having to live on a road called Bitter End. And so you would actually get in trouble. The school administration would correct you if you called it Bitter End and to Crusader Court. They were very passionate about this. So anyway,
Crusader Court just sounds like government housing to me.
That's basically what it was. So,
okay.
So we're at Crusader Court, and I spent 2 or 3 years living down there. Well, it was rogue territory because it's basically off campus and it's duplex housing, very little people, you know, watching over it. So that's where like you'd walk out and you just like smell weed in the distance. So,
but you can't drive to class. It's so far away, but correct. You still can't drive to class.
Still had to either catch the shuttle or walk up to campus. Yeah. Straight uphill. So I'm a coordinator down there my junior or senior year. And it was a Saturday morning. And you know Josh Beard? You know Josh?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Josh Beard's duplex. I had to walk. I had to go tell Josh something, Merce. I forget what happened. Josh wasn't even there. He wasn't there. So he's not guilty. He's not a party to this situation I'm about to describe. I walk in to a duplex. And like Josh likes to point out, girls were not allowed in boys' dorms. It was not allowed. I walk into this duplex one Saturday morning, and there are high-heeled shoes laying in the common area.
I remember this story now.
Have you heard this story?
I have heard this story.
There are high heel, and I'm sitting there like, there's a situation playing out in one of these rooms. Either we have a man dressed as a woman who left the high heel shoes in the common area. There was a female here, or there still is a female here. So I called Brandon Simpson, the men's housing coordinator. I was like, listen, there's a situation. He's like, are you kidding?
Brandon don't play. Brandon's
he
like
don't.
Bodybuilder, like
P90X. 6'5", P90X. It doesn't want to be messed with on a Saturday morning.
He's still in Greenville. Shout out to Brandon.
So he rides down. We go walking in this place. And I was like, look, it's high heel shoes. We knock on this door. Opens it. And there are two mattresses that have been put in the floor. And these roommates, missionary kid at this, there's three people in this bed where they've put two mattresses on the floor. A guy, a girl in the middle, and a guy. All sleeping together in this bed. I have no clue what happened the night before. I just know that there was a sandwich in the floor.
They didn't last long at North Greenville. They got kicked out that day.
That's correct.
So is that against North Greenville rules to have two guys sleeping with a girl in a bed? Is that against policy?
You weren't allowed to have two guys in a bed, two girls in a bed. You couldn't even bring your pet parakeet and put it in bed.
What?
The dude.
So what do you say though?
What do you say in a moment like this? The kid was like, "I'm sorry, man. You know, I apologize." Like that was gonna be it. Like that was gonna be, "Oh, it's okay. Just have her go home." This girl didn't have no clothes on.
Man, North Greenville, wild.
Was she even a student, or did they just pick her up on
the street? They picked her up at a club.
That's what I thought.
If you get picked up at a club and they take you back to North Greenville, then you should know.
They picked her up at a club or off a corner. Drop me back one off or the other.
Drop me back off. Somewhere.
I just know she left with a sheet wrapped around her.
Have a good day.
Right. It was a situation.
So did North Greenville burn the mattresses?
Probably. Most definitely, they
lit them on fire.
They cheapskates, man. They just spray them with Lysol and keep trucking.
Flip it over. You got a new mattress.
Oh my goodness, it was ridiculous.
So, guys, on a serious note. Y'all said something that struck a nerve with me a couple podcasts ago, and I know we got like 5 minutes, so I'm gonna hurry through this.
It hadn't popped up. We're not even down.
No, we're good. Yeah, it's not even
okay. 10, so I'm gonna get serious real quick. If that's all right.
How do you redeem what I just said?
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting. Yeah.
But I don't. Yeah, you'll see why I'm gonna bring this up.
Okay.
So, talking about Christian colleges, talking about bad things happening there, and all this kind of stuff. So y'all said something a couple podcasts ago about people being in like ministry or in leadership positions, or you know, being raised all their life a certain way, and they're, you know, direct reflection of Jesus and like the greatest person to ever live, but then they fall into something. I think y'all ever mentioned like New Spring and all that stuff that happened there.
Mm-hmm. When we were talking about leaders that fall,
right? So and I just kind of wanted to bring this out there. You know, being in youth ministry, being in the church, going to North Greenville, going to Limestone, you know, always being in a leadership position myself, I would like to add to that it's easier for a leader to fall and be put in the news and things like that than it is for just a common, ordinary person who might be living in sin to get called out. What y'all think about that?
Yeah, I agree 100%. 1,000%.
So what you're saying is like there's just a lot of focus put on when somebody that's in a position of leadership screws up. There's a lot of focus on that. Whereas if you're just a participant, you often get overlooked or just allowed to live in that way.
Yeah. I mean, and it really struck a nerve with that podcast, because when Christians or leaders in the church, things like that, are put in that circumstance, of course, everybody's like, well, why didn't they just say no? I mean, that's what they preach on Sundays. Why don't they just say no and live on the line? And I'm not making an excuse for them, but it's almost like saying, oh, well, I can live in whatever sin I want to live in, but my pastor better not mess up. And a lot of people have that mentality. A lot of people see that. And I do agree that we should hold them to a higher standard because they are pastors. They have been called by God to do his will. So I think we should hold them to a higher standard and kind of look up to them, so to speak. But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of going back to that Bible verse of why get the plank out of somebody else's eye why get the speck out of somebody else's eye when I've got a plank in my own eye, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's good. I think, I guess the more I know it's a podcast you're talking about now. It was more of not necessarily pick on the leader as it is putting the leader in that position based off of like, so we had this conversation yesterday, based off of structure. So like head pastor, associate pastor, and so like things like that. It's like, okay, head pastor lives up to this certain standard. And because the church structure puts them at that standard. So, you know, they're up front every Sunday. They're the face of the church. And so it took I guess for me personally, you know, we talked about this. It kind of gets into what me and Marty was talking about yesterday. It was talking about elders and talking about elders, what eldership looks like, elders being led. Like it seems like a safer, more healthy structure of a church when you have, when you don't have the focus on one person because of human nature, like you're talking about, human nature, culture we live in. And you're right, you know, we're easy to target those people who are in, you know, in the scope, I guess, or they do have that power. They do have that, I guess, that target on them because they're lifted in that position. But what I worry about is them thinking that they have to perform at a level or be at a level that they shouldn't have to kind of like live up to. Like, and so it's easy for me, because Marty's also been in ministry, it's easy for me to sit back and say, you know, maybe this isn't like the healthiest way to kind of lay the church out. And you look at the Bible and you look at the church, it's kind of like, okay, there's some things we could tweak here. And so it creates this, like, both ways. It's us as humans, like you're saying, Adam. And then also kind of like the church putting the pastor on a pedestal more than anything. And so you kind of get caught up in both of those things to target them more, or to have them under a microscope because you are called to a higher standard. But, you know, there definitely needs to be grace, especially in this like cancel culture type mindset where you can become famous in about 30 seconds and you be like the scum of the earth in like literally the next 30 seconds. So it's like, raise you up, bring you down.
So yeah, that's exactly where I was going with that. I'm glad you said that. So I think when something like that happens, there has to be grace. And I shared this a couple weeks ago. I was fortunate enough to preach at my church. And I shared this, but when the woman was getting stoned for being an adulterer, Jesus wrote in the dirt. And then he said, whoever sinned, cast the first stone, and she was able to go free. Max Lucado says it best. What Jesus was writing in the dirt was grace, was the word grace. And that's what we've got to show others. So I didn't mean to get like way deep into that, but I just wanted to put that out
there. That's what we're here for.
put that out there that, you know, it truly is an action of grace to forgive everyone you come in contact with, not just your friends. You know, because everybody has a story and everybody had a way to get there. So just something for y'all to think about.
Gotcha.
See if we let him back.
Marty, what about you? Marty, what you think?
No, I mean, I agree. Like, it's easy to target people and not want to show grace because of the position that they're not want to show, like, you're human too. My frustration is, why do leaders continually put themselves in positions that have proven to be susceptible to sin? Like, I have nothing wrong with people screwing up. I screw up all the time. But I would hope that if I knew certain positions made it easier for me to sin versus more difficult for me to sin or screw up, I would create a structure, I would create a situation that makes it less possible. And I think that's where I get frustrated, is I feel like a lot of times we've seen patterns in the church of pastors or ministry leaders being put in a situation that gives them power and the ability to sin easier without accountability. And they keep putting themselves in that position.
Yeah, I'm with you 110%.
Like, I mean, that's my first, not that they do screw up. It's that, right, like, you don't have to be in that position. Like, you could be in a better position than you are.
Right, and I agree with that. I mean, if you're in that position, you're screwed up. Well, then own your screw up and change your attitude. Like, change your actions. Change what you do.
Like, I actually appreciate that. Like, I appreciate, like, I don't want to see somebody fail, but I appreciate people who fail, own it, change, and rebuild, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, I think the core of it really is, like, we've been listening to that Mars Hill podcast, and then, you know, you just hear about pastors and power, and the struggle that head pastors have with power. Like, if you're going to lead an organization or a church, especially a church, to be a selfless leader, it's hard to put somebody in charge of that by themselves with full control, full power, full, like, that's going to be difficult to do, because we're all tempted to think, if I take this church of 20 people and I preach every Sunday for a year, and in 1 year I now have 500 people, it's going to be extremely hard to think, like, that's not me. And I think, and where I'm coming from, I'm not speaking for Marty for this, but where I'm coming from is, I get frustrated with what the church structure looks like in the Bible compared to what it looks like in, just say, the Baptist world. Is, you know, just the structure, like elders, deacons, head pastor, what that looks like. And then, like, there's so many different way, like, giving one person power or control is just not the healthiest model that you can pick to lead something that is supposed to be about Christ, because that's a lot of what. And so, like, it's all meant to have accountability. Like, you know, you had God the Spirit, God the Son, God the Father in the beginning. Like, he still had community in the beginning. And so it just, I don't know. That's what I'm more frustrated with, is because people continue to trust that structure when we see pastors struggle with that structure. So my thing is not really the pastors, more than it is that we as the church are setting them up. Like Marty said, we are setting them up to be tempted to take control, to fail, to slip up. And then for us to criticize them, we're setting them up. So we're setting them up in a way, and then also tearing them down once they fall. But really, we're the ones, or the church is the ones, that's really putting them up there to get teed off on, I guess. If that kind of makes sense, more than the actual pastor themselves. You know, they're going to fail at some point, but the way that we have handled how we elevate a pastor and how we almost worship a pastor is dangerous. And it's frustrating, I guess, for me, or scary in a way. If I was a head pastor, I'd be like, okay, man, this is kind of my church. I know it's not supposed to be like that, but a lot of pastors probably take that mindset when it comes to things like this.
Yeah, I'm with y'all guys on that.
But we appreciate the honesty and saying, hey, back off. Hey, I'm here for it. That's what we need. We need conversations, because usually me and Marty usually just agree with each other. Somehow. I don't know how, but somehow.
That's true.
But no, that's good though. It's good to see that, you know, maybe we are a little too focused on the person more than anything else, and do some clarification in that. So we appreciate the honest conversation from Mr. Adam Ellison over here.
Yeah.
Bringing that in.
You know, y'all make fun of me, but I'm a pretty wise guy.
Oh my goodness, how arrogant. How
say this is what we're talking about. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness. Listen, hey, where'd you get that cup at, Josh? I've got I used to have like 400 of those.
I still have 400 of them.
Great cups.
When we go to River City and you know, Ultimate California, they always pass them out. We just take them on. We got like 20 of them in the cabin.
They're great. I use them.
Is that where you went and that guy pulled up in the boat? Oh, that was a different place.
No, that was in Florida.
Oh man, that was great.
No. If I'm spending $200 at River City, there's an issue.
All right. We need to wrap up. We're out of time.
True that.
So anyway, Adam, appreciate you coming on today. Hope everybody else enjoys the conversation as much as I think we have. Well, since Adam's the only listener, Adam, I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as we do.
When you re-listen to this,
it's good to laugh, guys. Another thing, you know, so much going on in the world today. It's good to sit back and laugh and relax for a little bit. Y'all stay safe.
And apparently on work's dime, because you're still at work. I'm glad they paid you to be on the broadcast.
Tell anybody. So all what? Right. So as we end, what is your position? We gave you zero introduction.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh no, we've been giving them introduction for 2 weeks.
Brief summary as we sign off, Mr. Adam. What is it that you do?
So I do a couple of different things. But you mean for my primary job?
You got 1 minute. Just tell us what you want us to know.
So I work for DSS. I do the adult protective services. I supervise both Cherokee and Spartanburg County. And basically we take care of vulnerable adults. Anybody 18 or older has any kind of disabilities, can't take care of themselves. Then if they're being abused or neglected, then we go in and handle the situation. Tell them if they don't behave or call on counselor Marty Hyatt, and they normally straighten up, and then we're good.
That's right.
And you're also a part-time youth pastor still? Yes.
No, I am not. No. Actually, me and Lacey left the church that I was at in 2019. So you're a little bit behind on the anniversaries, but I won't hold it against you. But no, I actually serve at Southside Baptist Church across the street from where Josh worked third shift.
True that.
I serve as a deacon there now. I was just ordained a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So hey, shout out to that.
All right. But you have been a youth pastor for like literally 20 years prior to that.
11, but that's close. 10. I think it was 10 years. Yeah.
10 years.
Because I was a youth pastor at the age of 18 when I was at North Gavney. Yeah. So I was there for 4 years, McCown's Mountain for 2 years, Draytonville for 4 years. I think that equals 10.
Listen, you moving up on like Philip Goodson level, like flop level youth ministry, like David Toney level.
Flop was my youth minister when I was in youth. Flop is the youth minister at Draytonville. He succeeded me at Draytonville.
He's a youth minister again?
Yep. He went back to
Draytonville. He's also a guidance counselor.
He's like 64.
Yeah, he's a guidance counselor.
I thought he went to be a guidance counselor so he could work with youth but not have to be a youth minister.
Because he's like 64. I was at Draytonville, and they were like, who's better? I'll get Flop.
Because he was like 45 when we went to North Greenville together.
He's not that old, but
no, he's probably like 45 now.
You may be older than
we'll
him.
We'll talk trash about him, so then he'll have to get on the show.
Yeah, I see him every once in a while.
All right, listen, we're out of time, guys. I enjoyed it. Until next time, y'all behave yourselves.
Yeah, peace out.
Thanks, guys.